So now I'm going to quote that quote that I talked about earlier, that it's on your worship folder, A Thought for Meditational Prelude. Jesus did not come to earth simply to forgive us. He came to earth to recruit us. It was not his intent to create a church full of passengers. It was his intent from the very beginning that his people should learn to drive. And you know what? It's nice to be a passenger sometimes. But you know what? Sometimes we're backseat drivers. And God really does want, he's put within us. Why we are backseat drivers is because God has put within us a desire to drive. A desire to drive and to take people where they need to go, you know. And sometimes that's a burden because, Dad, I need to go here. I just took you there. Now you're back home again. I just brought you home. But, Dad, I need to go there now. Ah. Wait until they get their license. See, there it goes. We want them to have their license so that they can drive themselves. But this thing that Steve Deneff, who was one of the people who started the Soul Shift series, was right. God is not looking for us just to be passengers. He wants us, in a sense, to be drivers and help others to get to the places they need to go, especially in their spiritual lives. Jesus shepherds us. He is our shepherd. And he shepherds us in the direction of becoming shepherds too. Now you might think, well, I don't want to become Pastor David or Pastor Charlie. No, you can't. You can't become that. And I can't become you as a shepherd. But I want to just, this concept just came to me as we were praying this morning. We pray over there in the bar. We pray every morning in the bar on Sunday morning.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it sanctifies the bar a little bit. But anyway, we were praying and I was just came to my concept. You know, we as a church are a shepherd. We're a church. As a church, we're a little shepherd within this community. And it's, in a sense, we need to adopt that concept because it's not one person. It's the whole group of people who are being a shepherd, a light unto the world, you know. It says, like a city that's set on a hill. God has put us here for a reason, not just the ministry team from Faith Legacy. That's not just the ministry team. The ministry team is the whole group. We are the shepherd. We are a way of helping sheep to find their way. And Mark records this attitude a couple of times, both the attitude and the motivation that Jesus had a couple of times before the passage we just had read. In Mark 1:17, now that's 17 verses into the book of Mark. Here's what Jesus said. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me. Now that's Jesus is the shepherd. But you're going to be shepherds too because you're going to be fishers of men. Of men's souls, you know. And this idea of discipleship in Jesus' mind, follow me, always had the idea that following him was doing what he did. And he was a fisher of men. He was a shepherd. And Mark chapter 3 has the same thing where he was appointing the 12. It said, he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. And we might say the driving out of demons was also mirrored by the idea of healing people. There was a lot of healing that went on as well. So these are things that Jesus was telling the apostles to do, and the apostle, the word apostle, means one who is sent. One who is sent, and that's like a missionary. Well, this concept of apostle, Jesus had a will for the 12 that is the same will for us because he told the 12, when he sent them out, he said, teach them the same teachings I taught you to do, which means to go and be apostles, to go and be sent ones, sent to do the same kind of work that Jesus was doing. And so what was he doing? He was communicating the good news. He was helping people with their physical needs, healing people. And he was relieving those who were oppressed by evil. He was helping to relieve those who were oppressed by evil. Now, we can say, well, my, I don't have the ability to do any of those things. Those are tasks that I'm incapable of. And yet, that's our vision for ourselves, maybe. That's not God's vision for us. He wants us to be fishers of men. In following Him, He wants us to do what He was doing. That's really following. So, Jesus never calls us. Jesus really never calls us to serve without supernaturally supplying the need and the power that we have, the power to do it. So He doesn't call us to things we can't do. Maybe we can't do them in our own strength. If He calls us to do them, He will supply the strength to do them. His power, not our power, not what we have. So we're going to look at this passage. Let's start with verse 34, the passage that Terry read. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. That's a very interesting verse. I mean, I think we could take all day on that. But Jesus wants us to share His word, His communication, His message with lost sheep. Jesus wants us to do that. He says, follow me in doing what He did, then this verse applies to us. We are to look at the crowd. We are to have compassion. And then we are to teach them many things. You know? And that was Jesus' attitude when He saw a large crowd. He wasn't overwhelmed by the largeness of the crowd. Sometimes we are. We are overwhelmed. Like, there's a big globe out there. I mean, this is a big world, isn't it? This is a big world. A big country, a big city, a big eschaton village. It's a big retirement community. There's a lot of people here. And you say, well, that's overwhelming to me. But when Jesus saw the large crowd, His response was, oh my, such a large crowd. That's not what He thought. He thought, oh God, I have compassion on them. That needs to be our thing. Compassion motivated Jesus in what He did as a caring shepherd. That's what needs to motivate us. When we see a large crowd, don't be overwhelmed. Just let compassion start its work in your heart so that you are caring for these people, even though you can't even do anything at this point. You may not be able to do anything, but you just start by caring. You start by just in your heart say, oh God, if I could just embrace this whole crowd, I'd do it. But how do I do it? And what was Jesus? His immediate response to His compassion for the crowd, He began teaching them many things. Now, I really like how that Mark doesn't specify a list of the things He taught. Isn't it nice sometimes that many things could be anything? We don't even know what He taught them, but He taught them many things. And sometimes we have a habit of making legalistic lists or legalistic rules. You've got to tell these people this. If you don't give them the four spiritual laws, then man, you haven't really shared the gospel with them. Well, you know what? Many things covers more than that. Sometimes we limit God by our little legalisms, you know. We limit God by, here's the list, you got to do this. We don't have to do that. Here's what we have to do. We have to do many things. And it may not even be on those lists. This means that we must be very, very attentive. Very, very open. And very, very attentive. God, what is Your will here? Jesus used to explain why He did everything He did. He said, I don't do anything on my own. I hear from the Father, and that's what I do. That's what I say. I see what the Father is doing, and that's what I do. That's the kind of attentiveness we need to have. It's almost like a constant prayer. In a situation, when your compassion is going out, Lord, what do I do? And He'll show you. He'll speak to you, but we must start getting our ears attentive to that. And believe that God will speak to us. God wants lost sheep to know about many things. And those many things are some things maybe that we're not even thinking of. That's why we need to listen to the Lord. It's like, He may not, you say, well, I've got to go up and talk. No, He may say, no, I want you to send a note. Put a note in their box, a friendly note. Or send them a card. Welcome them to Eschaton. Go over and say hi. Or maybe you need to say, you know, in a conversation they might mention something and say, well, you know, I have a testimony about an answered prayer about that. And you know, that may be the thing that they need. That might be part of the many things that God wants them to know. You must be willing to listen. And then go on it. Work on it. Don't be afraid. Just go ahead with it. Now, you know, listening to the shepherd's voice, that's really important. And Jesus talks about that in John chapter 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. So, if we're his sheep, if we're his followers, then he said himself, you can hear his voice. You can. Now, you may not be hearing it because you're being distracted or your faith is weak, and you say, I don't know if God really is going to... Believe this verse in John. You are a sheep. A sheep hears his master's voice. And if you hear his voice, don't just say, oh, that can't be the master. Listen. It probably is the master. And your own mind is saying, I don't have the courage. Well, we're going to get into that. I don't have the courage, or I don't have the equipment, I don't have the ability to do these things. So how can I really share? Don't even let that be a consideration. Remember, the large crowd is not your focus. Compassion is your focus. The list that you may have heard that somebody gave you is not the focus. Many things that you don't even know about. Many things is the focus, because God wants these people to know many things. And you don't even know what they are. So you need to be listening to find out what God wants you to do. You may not be able to do everything. Maybe you are just one little step in their life that will help them to draw closer to God. And I think I had that last week when I went to that massage course. I shared one night I was going to go and go down to the pools and swim, because even though my arm is aching, I probably got too much swimming in. My this arthritic thing in my arm. But I wanted to go down, but I got in a conversation, and the whole evening I talked theology with this girl who later the next day said, you know, I prayed about what you said, and I want to be willing to do what God wants me and how God wants me to think. Now, she did not come to Christ as her Savior, but she was making a step, and that time I shared with her, I felt that I needed to do it, and I did faithfully. That was probably only one step, and I hope that God will bring others to help her along her spiritual journey. But we must listen. If he's shepherding us, if Jesus is shepherding us in the direction of becoming shepherds, then he will speak to us about speaking to others. Now think about that. If he's shepherding us in the direction of becoming shepherds ourselves, making the shift from just sheep to shepherds, that's what this soul shift is about, then he'll speak to us about speaking to others. He'll just give us that nudge. It's not going to be maybe a big deal, but it'll just be a soft deal. And you need to be listening very attentively. He's not going to bang you over the head with, get in there and witness. Get in there and tell him something. Send that note right away. You know, it's like, that's not the way God is. He's going to be gentle and lead you as a shepherd gently leads a sheep, okay? So, this means that we can trust him to guide us. He's our shepherd. We can trust him to guide us in how and when and what we are to say and do to teach them many things. Now, God also wants us to be involved in the needs of others, and we see this in the next passage. By this time, in verse 35 and 37, by this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said. And it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Ooh. Uh-oh. 5,000, more than 5,000 people. Maybe the disciples, maybe the disciples were starting to get this idea of compassion. Look at these poor people. They're hungry. Now, maybe it was another way, too. We're getting hungry too. Stop teaching so much and send these people away so that we can get away and start looking about getting a meal, because we're getting hungry here. We know they're getting hungry. Sometimes what it is that we can easily sympathize with those who we're going through the same problem. You know, we're going through the same problem. That might have been their case. We might say, no, they were being compassionate. But here's the thing. Even if they were being compassionate, human compassion often tries to fix things with human logic. Human compassion often tries to fix things with human logic. Well, let's see. How can I figure this out? How are we going to help? Oh, I know a way. I know a way that I can help them to get their stuff done, and I won't have to be involved. Just send them away to the towns and say, go buy something to eat for yourselves. That way I won't have anything to do with it, and it'll meet their need. There you go, human compassion. Jesus had a better idea. Jesus wanted to have compassion that was divine compassion with divine logic. So he says, a better idea is you give them something to eat. Oh boy, I tell you, normal life presents situations and circumstances that appear impossible. They appear impossible to alter these circumstances. But supernatural Christian life and service calls us to overcome the logic of facts. Now, that sounds funny. But the life that we're called to in Christ calls us to overcome the logic of facts with a faith in God's logic. You see, we have our own logic. And sometimes these facts will face us and we'll say, you can't get around the facts. Well, there's something that is above facts, because facts seem to change all the time. Sometimes facts are just what's politically correct at the moment. But this was a real fact. This was really human hunger. These are logical facts. Well, there's something higher than logical facts, and that is God's logic. And that's where we need to place our faith, in God's logic. You go feed them. Jesus calls us to follow him into a shepherding faith. A shepherding faith that trusts God for the outcome. You go feed them. That's what Jesus said. You go feed them. And what was their answer? In Mark chapter 6, verse 37 on, you see this is not all the scriptures, but some of them. They said to him, oh, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give them something to eat? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, five loaves and two fish. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. God wants us to share what we have, not what we don't have. God wants us to share what we have. Now, in our own estimation, what we have is not really that important. It's really not that important what we have if God calls us to share what we have. It doesn't matter what you have. Whatever you do have, here's the thing. It is important to find out what you do have. Jesus wants us to make a self-evaluation. I tell you why some people, you know what he said? He said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. How many loaves do you have? What do you have to offer them? Go and find out. So this self-evaluation of your weaknesses and your strengths, that's an important thing. Some people don't even want to serve because they haven't made that evaluation. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What can you offer? What does God have? What kind of gifts has God placed within you that you can offer to other people to help them? What are the experiences that you've had? What are the answers to prayer? I mean, you can start listing some of these things and say, these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses. You know, now it's important for us to know that. And why is it so important for us to know that? Because if we know our limitations, if we know our limitations, what we can't do, then we will realize something that's very, very important in this whole concept of being a shepherd. I mean, it's really extremely important, and that is this. Our success in caring for other people, our success in helping others, depends totally upon God taking the little that we have and making it into an abundance that meets the need, an abundance that we don't have. He can make it into that. Now that's what's important, our trust that God can do that and He be our success. So listen, everyone, you know, remember your sheep, so listen. I'm just your pastor. I'm just the recognized shepherd of this flock, okay? So listen, sheep, I'm telling you. Listen, sheep. This is the key. This is the key to being successful in moving from a sheep to a shepherd. This is the key, okay? Here it is. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to His disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. Now, that's successful. That's successful shepherding. That's successful ministry. We take what we have, but we don't look at what we have. We take it and we look to heaven. That's what Jesus did, looking to heaven. He took what they had given Him, and He looked to heaven. If you focus on what is little in your hand, it's not going to work for you. You've got to hold on to what you've got and look to heaven with it. That's important. That's one of the key factors here. And then He gave thanks. Thank you for this little that I have. It's not much. And look at the crowd. But I don't care about the crowd, how big it is. I'm compassionate. I've taught them as what I have to know. I mean, now I'm going to do something else. I am going to take what I have and share with them this little. So thank you for this little. That's important, this idea of thank. And you know, when we thank God, we remember our trust is in what, not what we have, but in what God can do to bless it. That's what's important in this Thanksgiving, what God can do with it. And then we're not to expect anything. We're not to expect anything from ourselves. We're to expect something from the over-shepherd. We're going to be shepherds. We're going to share. We're going to help. We're going to care in a practical way with the little that we have that we've asked blessing upon. But we're not responsible for the outcome. We are not to have really great expectations about what we will do. I would have loved to see that young lady accept Christ right there and become a Christian and from then on start walking with God. That didn't happen. So I only shared in faith, believing that what I had to share might help her, and it's what God wanted me to do. So the expectation is not what we want to see. It's what God has planned in His plan, which sometimes He doesn't tell us everything. And this is what He said, you give them something to eat. If He tells us that, you give them something to eat, then you have to think. If God's telling me to give them something to eat, which I don't think it's going to meet their whole need, but I'm going to be faithful to Him, then you know, somewhere in time, somewhere in the background of everything, God is going to meet them and satisfy them. It says they were all satisfied. He's going to satisfy the lost sheep that we talk to. And it may not be in our time, our lifetime, but we have to be faithful as shepherds. God always provides more grace. He always provides more grace than we need for any task. What happened after this? After they ate and were all satisfied, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of fish. God has given us an abundance. God has given us an abundant life in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter how much we give away, we're always going to get more. It doesn't matter how much we have in our hands and offer out and give away. It's all going to come back to us more. Our Christian life is going to continue to grow. It's like we still need to grow. He's not calling, now you've arrived. Now you are the level of being shepherds. So go out and be shepherds. No, we're still sheep. But in the midst of being sheep, he wants us to be shepherds too. And he has given us this super abundance of loaves and fishes so that we'll continue to grow abundantly. We're always going to have enough to eat, enough to grow on spiritually, so that our spiritual life continues to grow, because we're still sheep. But in the midst of being sheep, he still calls us to be shepherds. We cannot give up that obligation. Say, I'm just a sheep, just a passenger. You go ahead and drive. He wants us all to drive. There's a lot of people out there at Eschaton Village who need some guidance, who need some help, who need some care. They need compassion. And you know what? We can try to figure it out. I mean, Dawn and Terry and I can plan messages and say, this is what everybody needs to hear. But you know what? We may not have what everybody needs to hear. We may have a sort of like an ignition point, and you guys get the fire, and you are the ones that spread the fire. You know? Because what is this church? It's a shepherd. The whole church is a shepherd for this Eschaton Village. And as we follow our shepherd into this life of shepherding others, we're still sheep. Isn't it good? We're still sheep. We still have a shepherd. We're not on our own. We're never alone. He's always leading us. Our good shepherd. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being the one that is the good shepherd. Lays down his life for the sheep. You've done that for us. But you've also called us, Lord, to be shepherds as well. I pray, Father God, we'll catch this concept and maybe start an evaluation to go and see what we do have. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? And that you might help us to place those before you in thanksgiving, looking not at them, but looking at heaven. And asking you to help others. Lord, that's what we're here for. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.